We present Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud, Derek Nimmo, and John Badley in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hello. Welcome to Just a Minute. And as you've just heard, we have three of our regular players of the game. And we welcome back as our guest in the fourth chair, someone who played it with great effect a few weeks ago, John Badley. And, as usual, I will ask our four contestants to speak at different times, we hope, on the subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject. Let us begin the show this week with Derek Nimmo. Derek, the subject is tongue twisters. I read it and got twisted immediately. So that's the subject, tongue twisters. Derek, there are 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Tongue twisters are words or sentences which are difficult to articulate, such as over-absorption, which is a particularly difficult tongue twister. But children love them, and if you read the Opie book, The Language and Law of School Children, you will find many examples, such as, round the rugged rock, the ragged rascal ran. I've always cared for that one a great deal. Another one, which they used to use before they invented the green bag to blow in for a breathalyzer, was the Leith Police Dismissed Us. Because if one could say that clearly, it was assumed...
Kenneth Williams a chunk.
He said they can't say that clearly. He can't say it clearly either. He's got a terrible impediment.
Yeah. So what is your challenge?
Well, he said they can't say it, and he can't say it either, so it's deviation. Can't say
it. No, but he didn't deviate verbally, and that's what it's all about.
Oh,
no.
I see your point.
Yes.
Oh, how wise. He's another Solomon, he is, isn't he? Very wise.
It is a radio show we're doing, Kenneth.
Very shrewd, wise.
I think you're wonderful too,
thank
Kenneth.
You.
It's a joy to have you in the show,
oh,
you know. You're
thanks.
So clever and intelligent. You know, unsolicited soliloquies. Right, Kenneth, alas, I disagree with the challenge. Derry gets a point for that and keeps the subject. And there are 22 seconds left. Tongue twisters starting now.
One of the more difficult ones was one...
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of difficult.
Yes, you talked about difficult right. ones before, I'm afraid. Yeah. So Clement has a correct challenge, so he gets a point for that. There are 19 seconds left. Clement, tongue twisters starting now.
One of the most typical aspects of tongue twisters is that words within are repeated over and yet again. And the sort of tongue twister which I was going to tell you is Betty bought a bit of butter, but, she said, the stuff is bitter if I put it in my batter, and so on, but for the fact...
So Clement Freud cleverly kept going on tongue twisters till Ian Messiter blew his whistle, telling us that 60 seconds was up, and whoever is speaking at that moment gets the extra point. It was Clement Freud, he's in the lead at the end of the round, and also we'd like him to begin the next round. The subject, Clement, calorie counting. Will you tell us something about that in the game? Starting now.
As far as I can remember, a calorie is the amount of heat needed to raise the temperature of 1 gram of water through a single degree centigrade. And how you count that with a thermometer is anybody's guess. I once had one of these bits of glass containing mercury and tried to put it into the H2O, which I was trying to establish the...
Oh, I think he deserves a round of applause for keeping going. And changing the description of all the commodities he was using all the time. Right, so Derek got in for the hesitation and the 33 seconds on calorie counting. Derek, starting now.
If you join the organization known as Weight Watchers, then you will find yourself becoming a calorie counter. They're frightfully keen on listing how many calories are in all manner of different kinds of food. And therefore, should you go join this particular group.
John Badley, chum.
Good join was the word I did.
Yes, I did.
Good join. You would interpret good join as hesitation, would you, John?
Absolutely right.
So you have 13 seconds to talk on calorie counting starting now.
It is essential to keep an eye on calories because if you're getting overweight, it can be very distressing.
A new word, kisses.
I thought that matched his word.
I did, but you got the subject before when he came out with one, and so he gets it back. When you come out with one, and there are 8 seconds on calorie counting, Derek, starting now.
I once took an order for Slimming Magazine. I found this extremely informative to help me with my calorie counting, because you can see that I'm really rather close.
Well, Derek Nimmer was speaking as the whistle went, having given a lot of unsolicited advertising during that round, and he's now in the lead. And Kenneth Williams, will you take the next round? The subject, my talent. Kenneth, a subject you've eulogized about many times in the past.
But he can't do this in 1 minute. Not in 1 minute can he go through his
You'll be surprised what Kenneth can pack into 1 minute, I'm sure.
Give him the rest of the program.
He can put all of his talent into 1 minute and tell us all about it in the game, starting now.
My talent is indeed myriad. I mean, it would be impossible, as Derek so rightly says, to encompass it in 60 seconds. The idea is ludicrous, but one of my great talents is to smell out new talent. And many, many years ago, I saw that boy on the stage of the old Saville in a wonderful play about a prawn. And I say to people, he's going to go places, and look what's happened to him. He's gone. He's gone right to the top of his street. The same thing happened to me in Singapore. This kid came up, dressed as a matlow, did a number. Very good. It was called Sorrento. I said, you'll go. Ah, what happened? David Whitfield. Top of the pops, goodness knows what. I could always tell. I said, Sheila Hancock, in her dressing room one night, I said, I knew you when you were nothing, which is absolutely true. I said, and until I gave you one or two tips, acting, you know, told her not to bang in the furniture and how to...
So, Kenneth Williams started with the subject and finished with the subject. He wasn't interrupted. He kept going for 60 seconds. He gets a point for speaking as a whistle wind and a bonus point for not having to commit any of the sins of the game. Now, the subject is adders. It's John Badley.
What was the subject? The subject was?
Adders.
Adders?
Yes. Will you tell us something about adders, John, in the game, starting now?
Well, adders come in all shapes and sizes. I mean, every child knows that the initial adders are, of course, the fingers. One and one make two, four and four make...
Clement Freud. Oh, you do have to think hard in this thing, don't you, John? Yes. And you have subjects which trip you up as you go. Clement, one and one, yes, 51 seconds on adders starting now.
17 and 31 make 48. 19 and 27 make 56.
Derek Nimmer, John.
You have division of make.
Yes. So you concentrate on your arithmetic and you repeat the words. It's a fascinating game, isn't it? 44 seconds are left. Adders, Derek, starting now.
Adders are a particularly nasty poisonous snake, also known as vipers. There's the kind of...
Kenneth Williams, a challenge.
Yes, he got hopelessly mixed up with his diction, I think.
So you'd call that hesitation, I think. So would I. So let's hear from you on the subject of adders, Kenneth, with 37 seconds left, starting now.
They can be divided into two classes, because you've got the puff adder, so-called, because it carries round a compact and bangs powder all over itself in a very clever fashion, because, you see, like the chameleon, it actually changes its colour. Now, I was once told that a sadist shoved a chameleon onto a tartan rug so he could be changing his colour.
Oh, that's a lovely joke. So, Clement, were you challenged before he got the payoff of his joke?
There were two chameleons.
There were two chameleons, but what a pity, because we enjoyed the joke. Right, there are 14 seconds on adders with you, Clement, starting now.
Adders are small, poisonous snakes, of which you have to be extremely careful. If they bite you, it is essential either to get a doctor with a hypodermic or a very good friend who will do what no one would unless they were...
So, Clement Freud, speaking as the whistle went, gained the extra point, and he's now equal in the lead with Derek Nimmo. And, Derek, your turn to begin. The subject, offence. Will you tell us something about offence, starting now?
I suppose the Grand National is the greatest steeplechase in the world. And there are many fences in it which I greatly fear.
I just thought I'd help him out. He all seems to be coming to a horrible end.
He definitely thought of those fences and he stopped. So, Kenneth, you have a fence and 50.5 seconds left starting now.
Outside this farm in Kirtlington, where I was a sort of apprentice farmer, if you might put it that way, I was very lucky because there was this fence, you see, and they couldn't put me on the horse, cut some high for me, so they hung me on this fence. And that's the way I actually mounted it, you see, and then I eventually...
Clement Freud challenged.
Repetition of your C.
Yes. Why do you want to impersonate Malcolm Muggeridge this week? Why should the countryside and fences make you think of him anyway? But it was very enjoyable. And there are 30 seconds for you on a fence, Clement, starting now.
As Derek Nimmo so very properly said, Aintree, where the Grand National is run, is the best place for fences in the National Hunt calendar. They're called the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, the Chair, Beechers, Valentine.
Derek Nimmo, challenge.
Beechers comes before the Chair.
I didn't give them in chronological order.
We went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Oh, they went chronological order.
No, I didn't.
16 seconds. Clement, to continue on a fence starting now.
Should you steal something and find some difficulty in disposing of it, a fence is exactly the right person to whom to go. He is someone who looks after stolen property and disposes of it without the police usually finding out the identity.
Well, Clement Freud's still in the lead, one ahead of Derek Nimmo. John Badley's trailing somewhat, trailing rather badly, actually. And Kenneth, it's your turn to begin. The subject is Hipparchus. Will you tell us something about him in the game, starting now?
Hipparchus, well, I mean, the great thing, I suppose, that he did was, apart from cataloguing stars, to invent trigonometry. But the base, you see, was roads. And he used to wander all over that island, and very lovely it was. In fact, he says at one point, if he had to settle anywhere, it would be there. Because, you see... Eh? What are you laughing at? I mean, what happened there? Somebody
it was just your... It was just your acting, your natural delivery.
Oh,
I think you
mean,
so well,
yeah.
Clement, you pressed your buzzer.
He stopped.
I know he did. But he was inhibited by the audience, and as that's never happened before, I think we'll allow him to generously continue with the subject. 35
is
seconds.
This is a new rule. I mean, you can... You can claim I was inhibited by the audience. Could I retrospectively claim a point?
Yes, if you suddenly made the audience laugh and they made you dry up and stop, I would give you the benefit of the doubt and let you to continue. On this occasion, I'm going to let Kenneth continue on the subject on Hipparchus or Hipparchus, whichever pronunciation you prefer. 35 seconds, starting now.
Actually, I really rather wish you wouldn't, because apart from the cataloguing of the stars, I don't know much about...
Clement Freud, you challenge.
Repetition of stars.
There are 29 seconds on Hipparchus with you, Clement, starting now.
2,000 years ago, which was just before Hipparchus was born, trigonometry...
Kenneth Williams, the challenge.
It's not correct about the date of his birth.
Just after.
It's 150 BC, Hipparchus.
Yes. So therefore he is... Well done, well done. 190 to 370 BC.
Yes.
So you are correct, Kenneth, and you have 16 seconds on Hipparchus starting now.
One of the things he used to enjoy was wearing these very loose-fitting robes. And he had these sandals. And he found his feet got very sore because of the sun, you know, beating down like. And they said, what you ought to do, girl, rub in a bit of mango.
So Kenneth kept going on the subject that the ambassador gave him until the whistle went on that occasion and gained the extra point. He's now equal with Derek Nimmo in second place. They're 3 points behind Clement Freud, our leader, and John Badley begins the next round. John, haunted theatres. Will you tell us something about those in the game, starting now?
All my life I've been absolutely fascinated by haunted theatres, but only once have I had the experience of seeing a ghost within a theatre. This was in 1959, when I arrived in Bristol to work at the Theatre Royal. I made my way down King Street past the Landauger Trough and the docks at the bottom, waving to the sailors, saying, whither away my heart is, to what fell short.
Waving to sailors and all. What's this got to do? What's this got to do with haunted, haunted places? What's it got to do with anything?
It's the build-up. It's leading into it.
I don't think the sailors have got anything to do with haunted theatres. I don't know
what's coming.
No.
I don't know. The sailors obviously knew what was coming. I think you're giving too much of your private life away. And John, and though a lot is revealed on Just a Minute when people try to keep going under pressure, I don't think you've kept the subject. You've deviated, and Kenneth has haunted theatres, and there are 38 seconds left starting now.
Well, it is recounted by Henry Ainley. He believed an animal haunted the Theatre Royal, Drury Lane, and he said it was a horse that could be heard backfiring, and something said, something of a critic, and that got up his ooter, or nose, I suppose you could say, if you were talking of polite parlance. But there is a theatre, I do know of it, it's in Cornwall, a place called Tintagel, and there a woman walks abroad in the night.
Well, Kenneth's on form and keeping going this week because he's now in second place, only 1 point behind our leader, Clement Freud. And, Derek, your turn to begin. What went on behind the gymnasium? Derek, cast your mind back to your youth and tell us, if you can go that far back, and tell us something about that in the game, starting now.
Of course, during my youth, there were several gymnasia as I moved from one school to another. But I do remember one particular gymnasium because behind it we had our wolf cub. And I used to meet there with R. Kalar, who was a kind of sergeant major of the joint. And in charge of me was the senior sixer. I was a brown, would you believe? And one learned the cub lore and the prayers. Very important, I think. Something that I've kept with me all my life. And that happened behind the gymnasium. I promised to do my best, to do my duty to God and the king, note you, to keep the law of the wolf cub. Pack, oh dear.
Repetition of cub.
Yes, I'm afraid the wolf cub came in before, and there are 21 seconds on what went on behind the gymnasium, Clement, starting now.
My politics persuade me that we should be interested in what goes on in the gymnasium and not behind it.
Kenneth, as you say,
he's not going to discuss what goes on behind the gymnasium. He's deviating from the subject. The subject is there.
Yes, his politics dictate that that's what's going to go on. I think he was deviating. He immediately said
he's
not going to discuss what goes on behind.
Precisely.
So, you have the subject, Kenneth. 13 seconds, starting now.
I was caught behind the gymnasium by a whole gang of them. It was ghastly. And they got my cap off, they got my blazer, and then they started to strip me. I felt terrible.
Well, Kenneth kept going to the whistle, gained that extra point again, and he's now equal in the lead with Clement Freud, and Clement begins the next round. Clement, the biggest fib I ever told is the subject. Can you tell us something about it in the game, starting now?
I think the very biggest fib I ever told was when I announced that the population of Grunty Fen was 98, when in fact 111 people lived there. I have felt mortified thinking back to have deceived the public to such an extent. I hope never to tell greater fibs than that, and then all will be well with me in my political career. I know someone who tells enormous fibs who doesn't sit 100 yards from me at this moment, who usually makes faces when I talk and pretends to be bored because he is fascinated by my verbiage.
Derek Nimmer has challenged.
Launched a personal attack on one member of the team. We don't know which, but he's not talking about the greatest fib that he ever told.
No, he's talking about Kenneth Williams now, who sits beside
him. How do you know he's talking about Kenneth Williams? I think that's a deliberate slur on Kenneth Williams. He could have been talking about you, and most probably was, I thought.
It's the sort of thing you've never done in the game, is it, Derek?
What?
Put a slur on anybody.
Well, some people don't need to be slurred. It's self-evident what they are.
Anyway, I don't think he was... I think he was being very, very jocular about Kenneth, but he had deviated from the subject by talking about Kenneth, and you have a correct challenge, Derek, and there are 20 seconds for you to continue talking on the biggest fib I ever told, starting now.
The biggest fib that I ever told was on a mountain in Papua New Guinea, not far from Port Moresby. I'd been flown there by some missionaries, and when I arrived, I said, I am the big white god. This is the second coming. And everybody fell on the floor and prostrated themselves and gave me beads, and I dispensed small hand mirrors, which I brought on the occasion.
And I think that Derek Nimmer's just told the biggest fib ever in just a minute. Kenneth, it's your turn to begin. The subject is how they found me out. You have 60 seconds, as usual, starting now.
Well, of course, the occasion was, I mean, it was a mystery, you see. And they found me out because, unlike the rest of them, I could not do the square bashing nor handle the light machine gun or the Webley or the bayonet. So, consequently, they sent me to this officer who said, now, look here. You are not what we thought you were. And I said, oh, I know. I am not as other people are. I'm a rare, delightful creature that should, like Greek wine, be bottled but never travel. And he said, I think we'd better send you to a PDC. And lo and behold, that is where your Aunt Ada was sent. Physical Development Center. It was at Hereford, and they put you through the most incredible remedial exercises anyone has ever devised in their existence. I had to laugh.
Well, Kenneth, you kept going for 60 seconds. Nobody challenged him. He kept going to the end. He gets a point for speaking as the whistle went, and a bonus point for not being interrupted.
Oh,
well done,
bravo,
Kenneth.
Bravo! Bravo!
And you won't be surprised to hear that at the end of that round, Kenneth Williams is in the lead.
Oh, how marvelous. How this is gratifying.
It doesn't often happen, so let's savor the moment. John Badley, will you begin the next round? In fact, it's your turn to begin the next round. John, the subject is saving petrol. Will you tell us something about that in the game, starting now?
Saving petrol must be one of the most tedious subjects on which to speak. I suppose this could be the fact that I find it very difficult to save petrol. The reason for this is that I am uneconomical when in the car. Now, I'm told that we must look to our futures, because if we waste our petrol, I don't know where we will go. Now, we may have battery-driven cars or we may have nuclear-driven cars, but it is essential to save petrol. So when you are driving up the motorway, ignore the 70 sign and keep to 50... so miles...
Well, I think you did come to a halt there, you see. I have to... You don't mind me saying? You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean?
He came to a halt because he'd repeated the word 50.
That's right, you're right. Yes. You're very perceptive as a chairman. I have noticed that. Very perceptive.
Yes, in spite of what you say on other occasions. There are 26 seconds for you, Kenneth, having got the subject of saving petrol starting now.
Saving petrol is, like saving time, a footless exercise. When you have saved this petrol and it's poor all over the place, you've got gallons of it, more than petrol than you've had hot dinners, so to speak, what are you going to do with it? I mean, the likelihood is somebody will have the bonfire night and set fire, the whole thing will go up in smoke, and you'll wish you'd saved nothing of the kind, you see.
Right, so Kenneth Williams, speaking as the whistle went, gained more points, and he's now in a very definite lead at the end of the round. Clement Freud, will you be in the next round? The subject is static. Will you tell us something about that in the game, starting now?
Static is the opposite of dynamic, and I'm totally against it. It is the most negative, useless, and baseless virtue, in that you remain in the same place when you could move forward, sideways, crabwise, to one direction or another. But static is also the noise that you pick up while you're trying to save petrol at 56 miles an hour on the car radio. I get more of it than most because my radio in the motor, which used to be known
John
as
Badley
wireless...
challenged.
I think we heard the word radio.
We did hear the word radio, John, and you got in with a good
You were
challenge.
Listening.
Yes, I'm just catching on.
Yes, yes. Well, it's your second visit, and it does take time to get all the nuances of the game, but you're picking them up fast. 26 seconds for you on static, starting now.
I have found that being on this program, the one thing you mustn't be is static. You've got to keep moving all the time, maybe at a very steady pace, but never to keep still. Otherwise, your opponents will be in on you, because they never remain static. So I'm endeavoring to do this all the time. Now, the other aspect of being static is that when you're asleep, this is the best position in which to be. You should be in a prone position with your head slightly raised, and this static will give you the best rest that you can.
So, John Badley kept going to the whistle when gained an extra point, and he's still in fourth place.
Good.
Let me give you the final score. John, as I've said, was a guest who has not played the game much before, finished in fourth position. A little way behind Derek Nimmo this week, who usually is way out in front, but he was in second place. He was just behind Clement Freud. But our leader and our winner this week was the one and only Kenneth Williams. Well, a popular win, and I better let you know that we have no more time to play the game, and if you've enjoyed it as much as we've enjoyed playing it, then our pleasure is fulfilled, and we hope that you want to tune in again at the same time next week when we take the air and we play the game. Till then, from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by Pete Atkin.